The following is a presentation of the High Spot Podcast. Making their way to the ring, talking about the world of professional wrestling, the team of Jeff Martin and the trendsetter, Brian Perga, the Jersey Wrecking Crew.
You're listening to the High Spot Podcast. We are the Jersey Wrecking Crew. I am Jeff Martin alongside the trendsetter, Brian Perga. Follow us on all our social media, High Spot Podcast, Trendsetter. We're going to preview Survivor Series, TakeOver, War Games, and we got Sonny Ono on the show. You can follow us on all our social media platforms. We've got BodySlam.net, also the Shining Wizards and B-Plus Player Radio Networks, as well as Cheap Pop's Podcast Network, Trendsetter. Let's get into it, man. So much happened this past week. We're going to start off with Becky Lynch now out of the Survivor Series in the highly anticipated matchup with Ronda Rousey. But, there's a huge but here, Trendsetter, because Daniel Bryan is now the WWE Champion, which kind of affects that main event, because now it will be Brock Lesnar versus Daniel Bryan. Trendsetter, what a week it was in the WWE.
A lot of ups and downs, a lot of twists and turns, Jeff, but, you know, ultimately it leads into, you know, if something happens abruptly and changes, they find a way of figuring it out and doing something more dynamic in terms of getting us more intrigued for the event, which is Survivor Series. You're right. I mean, the whole Becky Lynch, Ronda Rousey thing, people were anticipating, you and I talked about during the last show, of how excited people were for this and all the great work that Becky Lynch has done to this certain point. Now people feel they're being robbed of it, feel that it's something they wanted and now they can't get. But you know what? What a better consolation prize than now Daniel Bryan. The whole classic story that we wanted to see for so many years but couldn't because Daniel Bryan had a concussion. He had to retire early. Now he's back. It's David versus Goliath, a different type of David, a heel turned David, which puts another twist behind it. But still, regardless, you're going to finally see Daniel Bryan and Brock Lesnar in the ring at the same time.
Yeah, I was ready to talk about Charlotte replacing Becky and how, you know, this changes things because a WrestleMania match that we thought we were going to see during WrestleMania or leading towards another WrestleMania down the road, we're going to get at the Survivor Series. Something that WWE does is when the card, for example, when the whole Roman Reigns got sick and you know, and some of the roster, you know, was sick, and then you had to have Finn Balor versus AJ Styles, then you had Kurt Angle actually return back to the wrestling ring on a pay-per-view. WWE tries to appease the fans, and I think they're doing this in another way. And boy, now Nia Jax with a forearm heard around the world, because not only does, in my opinion, does it affect now we're getting Charlotte versus Ronda Rousey, but now we're also getting Daniel Bryan versus Brock Lesnar, which I don't even believe that it was in the cards for AJ Styles to lose the WWE Championship. But it's amazing what one thing can happen, has a trickle-down effect, and now we're getting two brand new matches for Raw supremacy, for brand supremacy, for SmackDown supremacy. What are your thoughts here heading into it now? I know it's, you know, Becky Lynch had an amazing Raw. I know that the fans are behind her. She is superseding anything now on the WWE. She is the it factor. And now we get Charlotte and Ronda Rousey. Does that in any way kind of take away from this matchup, this new matchup that we're going to see this Sunday?
It does take away from it because you know why? You just talked about it before. This is something that most likely the whole Charlotte Ronda Rousey buildup was something leading maybe possibly towards WrestleMania. I'm sure a lot of people couldn't predict the amount of momentum that Becky Lynch would have gotten. Now, you know, a Becky Lynch Ronda Rousey WrestleMania match could be in the works too. That could just, you know, just flip the cards around. Regardless of how you want to position it, Jeff, and how people want to kind of talk about it now leading into Sunday for the Survivor Series, yeah, it's exciting. Ronda Rousey, Charlotte, of course. But ultimately, at the end, it's not the match we wanted to see, at least not yet. It was all about Becky Lynch and Ronda Rousey. So I guess now, you know, hindsight's 2020. It just builds up even further this whole personal rivalry between the two of them. Who's the better woman? Who's the meanest bitch, et cetera, et cetera. Cool storyline, cool dynamic to work off of. But, you know, you kind of feel disappointed too, because although you do see Charlotte and Ronda Rousey in the ring at the same time, it wasn't built up to anything. It just kind of happened off a whim. It's there, so let's do it now because we have no other choice, no other option, because you're promoting Survivor Series. You're having people buy packages to those events because they want to see something special. And talking about the whole AJ Styles thing, disappointing he lost. You would think his rivalry with Samoa Joe, somewhere between there, he would have lost the title. And to lose in this factor, if you're a fan, you're gritting your teeth like, oh, how could you do that? But at the same time, it's probably the best thing for AJ right now, because he still stays very strong. He still looks in good light in terms of how SmackDown wants to promote as their top babyface. And ultimately, there's nothing wrong in this scenario, too, where it just puts a different spin on. I mean, when you look at Raw, a three-hour show, very rarely do you get surprised that often. For SmackDown Live, I have to give them credit and give a lot of accolades to the talent and to the writers themselves. Something you didn't expect. I saw him thinking, okay, AJ's going to win, and we'll move on with the Daniel Bryan, maybe Miz story. But now that seems to take a backseat. So I like how SmackDown Live does things that you don't expect, which you can only do from a live program show, as opposed to when it was taped, you kind of knew the spoiler. So kudos to SmackDown Live for keeping us on our toes.
Yeah, Raw kind of ended on an amazing note, of course. That image of Becky Lynch with the blood and just that comparison to Stone Cold Steve Austin. It's one of those iconic images that 5 years down the road you're going to be looking at and you're going to be realizing that is, you know, the day that Becky Lynch really solidified her being the man in WWE. I'm sure somewhere someone's put both shots of Austin and Becky Lynch together, but truly iconic. And then finding out that her injuries were so severe that she had to be pulled out of the Survivor Series card, which honestly was the matchup, which was the main event of Survivor Series. I don't think that the Raw versus SmackDown match, the 5-on-5, I don't think that the Brock Lesnar AJ Styles at the time, I don't think that was going to be the main event. It was clearly the most anticipated matchup on the card. And now, it's not a bad consolation prize. You get Charlotte versus Ronda Rousey. Again, like you mentioned, Trent Turner, the build. That's the only thing that's missing here is the build. Watching AJ Styles and Daniel Bryan tonight, the only thing that was missing is there was no Royal Rumble next to it. There was no WrestleMania next to it. It was just a SmackDown. But listen, they have to deal with what they have to deal with right now. These are the cards that they've been dealt with. And a forearm to Becky Lynch has had a trickle-down effect, because basically it's changed two matches for Survivor Series. And it's kind of maybe changed the plans of WWE heading into WrestleMania, because, again, I'm going to state the fact, I don't think they expected AJ to drop the championship here on SmackDown. I don't think that was the plan, but I think plans change and we're going to find out. It's going to be really exciting. SmackDown is probably one of the best that I've seen in a long time because of these surprises. And I think that's one of the things that made it such a good show, because it surprised, because it was unexpected. But again, Paul Heyman comes out there, says that Daniel Bryan and Brock Lesnar will never be, and now we're going to get it at the Survivor Series. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to preview the Survivor Series before we get to Sonny Ono. So let's get to Brock versus Daniel Bryan. You got a heel Daniel Bryan. Very surprised that happened. Very surprised that they're going that way with Daniel Bryan. But now it's going to be Brock, Daniel Bryan, David versus Goliath, except Daniel Bryan looks to be a heel. It's very interesting. I cannot wait to see this match. It is brand new. It is fresh. It's something that we thought we'd never see, and we get at the Survivor Series. I'm going to go and say that somehow Daniel Bryan will get the victory, because I feel there will be some outside interference.
It's fair to say I'm still pitting my money on Brock Lesnar. And the only reason I'm saying this is you're making sense in terms of what you want to do with Daniel Bryan, but at the same time, you've built up so much momentum in terms of Brock Lesnar to regain that momentum he had before he lost the title to Roman Reigns, and then Roman Reigns having to forfeit the title due to leukemia. And, you know, when you have him destroy basically Braun Strowman, now granted there was outside interference by Baron Corbin, you know, when you do that much to one of your top big men, I must say right now, regardless of the fact that regardless of the fact that Daniel Bryan turned heel, there's no doubt in my mind that people are going to be rooting for Goliath, because no matter what WWE's tried to do, Jeff, in my opinion, it hasn't worked. People, regardless that they complain and they whine about how the title doesn't get defended, how, you know, the Universal Championship's never on air, Brock Lesnar's never on Raw, it's still Brock Lesnar, and people like that chip on his shoulder, that badass mentality that Ronda Rousey tries to portray, and in my opinion, fails of portraying. You know, he's legit guy, and people still cheer him regardless of how much they try to have Brock Lesnar as the quote-unquote bad guy. So I'm picking Brock Lesnar in this one.
And Ronda Rousey, and of course it was supposed to be Becky Lynch, and now it is Charlotte Flair. So you get another amazing WrestleMania-type match in L.A. And let's not also forget the factor of it is L.A. It is Los Angeles. It is a sold-out Staples Center. And when you're going to Hollywood, you need to have marquee matches. And the next best thing would have been Charlotte versus Ronda Rousey. Let the speculation, let the arguments begin of whether this matchup should have been saved for WrestleMania, whether you could have gotten away with Oscar versus Ronda Rousey, which I would have been all for. but you get Ronda Rousey and Charlotte. There is no way Becky Lynch would have, in my opinion, should have lost in this matchup. But now Charlotte here, again, another one where you're like, wow, who does it hurt more? Is Charlotte, can she lose after using so many bids to regain the title from Becky? Or can Ronda Rousey afford a loss, her first ever loss, but to Charlotte? It's a very tough one. This is a toss-up, but I'm going to go Ronda Rousey, who comes out victorious.
I think so, too. I could also see ending as a schmaz, Jeff, too, as well. But in terms of who it hurts, it probably hurt Ronda Rousey more, especially the Raw Women's Championship, if Ronda were to lose this one. We thought Becky and Ronda would end in a schmaz as well. But I don't think a loss hurts Charlotte in this case, and it could build up to a potential rematch, which means a lot more. It could be for a title on the line. So I see Ronda in this one.
Very surprising that AJ Styles now finds himself out of Survivor Series.
He needs a break.
He needs a break, right? Yeah, take the break. Take the week off, right? Yeah. But it's surprising to me that with all this, AJ Styles now finds himself as the odd man out, at least for this pay-per-view. So no AJ Styles at least, because Jeff Hardy replaces the SmackDown Live team where Daniel Bryan was supposed to be one of the captains. He takes on Brock, and now we have the 5-on-5 Raw versus SmackDown. Really quick, Braun Strowman, Finn Balor, Drew McIntyre, Dolph Ziggler, Bobby Lashley against Jeff Hardy, The Miz, Samoa Joe, Rey Mysterio, and Shane McMahon. I already feel that they're one man down with Shane McMahon on this team. So honestly,
well, why does Shane always seems to feel he needs to include himself into a,
you know,
into a match?
I really
like this.
Do not know, but
he was concussed the last time. Does he think it's going to get any better right now? You and I have talked about it before, Jeff, back again. Shane's great to see him on TV, but we don't need to see him in the ring anymore. And in this scenario, I don't know where to go. On paper, I think Raw is the stronger team. I'm
definitely
Raw
is
on
the
stronger
team. Yeah, going to go with Raw here. Surprising that Randy Orton isn't even on this team. I know he came out and he went to attack Rey Mysterio, gave
the RKO to the Miz,
and now all of a sudden, no Randy Orton. And I just think, again, this is going to be Raw defeating SmackDown Live. All right, so now what we're going to do is here, the rest of our predictions will be on Twitter. So go to Twitter, go to thehighspotpodcast.com, and you can see the rest of our predictions for Survivor Series. They will be available to you this Friday, which is right after you listen to the show. So once you listen to the show, once you get the main matches here, just go and click on to the rest of our predictions on highspotpodcast.com and on Twitter. All right, trendsetter. So now we are going to talk to Sonny Ono, former WCW manager, former liaison to New Japan and WCW, a good friend of Eric Bischoff, and he gave us a few minutes to talk to about a lot of things, man. And we want to thank BodySlams.net for setting this up. You can find this interview also on BodySlams.net. But Sonny Ono joined us on the High Spot Podcast talking about everything, what he's up to, and as well as the whole women's evolution. So let's hear right now from Sonny Ono as he joins the High Spot Podcast. All right, trendsetters, another great interview here with our partnership with BodySlams.net. Looking so forward to talking to our guest right now. He is former WCW manager Sonny Ono. Sonny, thank you so much for coming on the show. How you doing?
Good. How's the boys doing? How you guys doing? Good.
Trying to stay warm here in the Northeast. How you doing? Where are you at right now?
I'm in Iowa. We're 9 degrees this morning.
9 degrees. Okay, so I will stop complaining then, Sonny, because
that's right. Don't be a little girls. You know, I mean, there's always worse place than where you are. Remember that.
He's talking about you, Jeff. Definitely. Sonny, thank you so much for coming on. So listen, you've done a lot of these interviews recently, and we've done a lot of homework on you. So what I want to start off with first is I want to shoot off some random topics for you here that I just want to share and get your thoughts on. So with this whole match between, you know, Becky Lynch and Ronda Rousey that, you know, may or may not happen, we don't know yet. Just talk about your thoughts on the whole women's evolution and just your thoughts on how far it's come since you've managed in WCW.
Well, no, let's put things in perspective, though, because I brought the girls. Now, I think the girls, including Ronda and all the ladies, you know, deserve amazing amount of props for where they are right now and just having that all-women pay-per-view by WWE. You know, they have come a long way, as they say, and back And I think that was a cigarette commercial back in days, probably before you guys were born. I think it was like Virginia Slim's cigarette commercial deal. But anyway, you got to remember when WCW and was involved in bringing the women in. You know, we brought Medusa from WWE, and one of the things that to a lot of the audience probably don't know is that, you know, Medusa trained in All Japan, All Lady Pro Wrestling back in All Japan. And so one of the things that I was told, and reason why we brought the great Japanese lady, was because that was the only place we could find somebody who could give Medusa really a match that was deserving for her. And that's why I brought in Akira Hokuto, Chigusa Nagayo, and Bo Nakano, you know, those ladies, Kaoru, all those ladies from back then, Gaia Japan, which is a promotion that was an offshoot of, All Japan Pro Wrestling. And those ladies could work. I don't know if you remember the match between there was a little young lady, 4'7", Cutie Suzuki, opened the show with at Nitro.
Okay.
And they just brought the house down. And those girls could work and could work amazing matches. And, you know, I think that was the beginning. I mean, I got to tell you, if you can go on YouTube and look at some of the ladies' match from the late 80s and early 90s, and you'll find that those matches are so tight and so stiff that, you can't but help yourself ooze and ah of some of their maneuvers. And I think, not to disrespect the ladies, but give them props to the ladies at WWE right now, that they've gotten to the point where they can match up with those ladies back in, when I was bringing those ladies in from Japan to match up with Debbie, who's Medusa, known as Medusa, Deborah Michelli. And that's, so when you tell me that people are, starting to enjoy the ladies and they're finally respecting them as a professional wrestler, athletes, they're not being objectified as just eye candies anymore. And I'm very happy about that. I'm very proud about they got to where they are now. But, I got to tell you, we were doing that back in the days and, with Medusa versus Akira Hokuto matches.
If there's anybody on the roster in WWE that Sonny Ono would love to manage, and I know it's tough to select because there's a lot of very talented female wrestlers right now, but who exactly would it be that you would have your eye on that you would want to manage?
Well, I think normal thing for me to do if I was ever given that opportunity that I could help, would be Asuka. Amazing talent. She can do it all. And one of the things I think is holding her back is the fact that, she can't cut an interview because of a language barrier. And for that matter, I would love to manage Nakamura. Just the fact that I think I can help the story along. I think one of the hardest things to do, what people doesn't realize, an American pro wrestling scene is that it's a storyline driven. And when it's storyline driven, it's hard to read a book if you can't tell the story. And just like a reading a blank page of first five pages, and all of a sudden there's a fight scene and you don't know what's what. You don't know the motivation. You don't know the story behind it, why the matches are. And that's what the problem, for them to get to the next level, to the top level, in order for you to be successful, an American pro wrestling television show is exactly that. They need to be able to, you know, properly communicate. And, you know, and a manager always has been, and that's the role they played, you know. And that's the part that I would love to help out.
Yeah, speaking of that, you're right, Sonny, on the basis that, you know, being able to tell the story and kind of cut through that language barrier it seems to hinder a lot of individuals. But, you know, to me, something that I just think about right now in terms of a story that just speaks volumes in terms of even if there is a language barrier is the storyline that we saw in the trilogy or four matches we saw with Kenny Omega and Okada. And to me, that spoke volumes in terms of just storytelling in the ring and psychology. Now, speaking of guys like Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks and Cody, and everybody's talking about January 1st and what could possibly happen between the two, I want to focus a little bit more on New Japan in the terms that, you know, I give so much credit to New Japan, something that I've watched. It's definitely an alternative from what you normally watch with WWE programming. So would you think a company like New Japan, Ring of Honor, Impact Wrestling, the way they're all collectively working together, could somehow at one point be kind of similar to what we saw maybe down the road where there was the WCW and WWE, not necessarily competing against each other, but to a high echelon just like that?
Well, it takes so much production value and you know, the juggernaut that the WWE is, I can't imagine the another entity or company being able to do what WCW did for 83 weeks. Plugging Eric Bischoff's podcast here.
83 weeks. Where's Conrad?
Yeah. But you know, it's, I can't see anybody being able to do that just because, you know, the financial backing that you would need necessary. You got to remember WCW was, you know, backed by, owned by, Turner Network Television and that's AOL Time Warner, you know, so they have, amazing amount of resources and be able to compete and put WWE or WWF at the time against the wall. But having said that, I think it was the best time of wrestling. The competition is great for wrestling. I think they worked hard to get their product up, you know, to compete against WCW, and WCW did everything it can to, create NWO and a great storyline to create bigger viewership. Now, to answer your question, you know, I think it's very difficult without having that kind of financial resources to be able to compete against WWE. Now, because of, you know, you got to remember the universe changed now. There's you know, you can watch television through your phone, the free streaming. There's a lot more platform that you can watch stuff from, and that's great for a lot of independent wrestling and you know, international wrestling that you can't watch it on regular television here. So I think those are all good that we get a chance to see that. But once again, you know, Japanese, like all, you know, New Japan Pro Wrestling shows, it's still, although it's a television, but you really go in there to watch the anticipated match, right?
Mm-hmm.
There isn't a lot of background of where Kenny Omega comes from or Okada has come from. You know, there's a lot of interesting story. You know, Okada started out being Ultimo Dragon, who I manage even to this day, you know, at his dojo in Mexico. That's where he learned his craft. So, you know, those are the backstory that I think would be great. You could do that through, you know, that New Japan Pro Wrestling fan can you know, get to identify more and care more about the character. But their format is not designed for that. You know, their format is designed to see, hey, you know, it's more like how they promote old boxing days. You know what I mean? Two great competitor competing against each other. That's basically it. That's their storyline is just very simplified like that. You know, they're not really producing, you know, backstories and angles. So, you know, it's in order for them to do what WWE is doing, they'll have to compete against them at that level where you can tell the backstories. And, you know, I don't think they have a means or and desire to really do that at this point.
you know, they are currently under a new leadership now, with Harold Mee there. And, of course, they will be part of WrestleMania weekend here, selling out Madison Square Garden alongside Ring of Honor for the G1 Supercard. Do you know anything about this new leadership? Do you know anything about the new group that's in involved with New Japan? And your thoughts really quick on the G1 Supercard during WrestleMania weekend to sell Madison Square Garden is something very historic. And for Ring of Honor and New Japan to do this, it's got to be a huge achievement.
Yeah, I think because pro wrestling was controlled by territory, they still had WWE had a relationship with many of the arenas, including iconic New York Madison Square Garden. And for them to get in there, I think they were told no a few times, and for them to get in there, being able to get in there, and of course, you got to remember what New Japan's doing. Is that because of WrestleMania weekend, as you know, many independent promotion, aside from WWE, have an event all week along, week before and week after that weekend. So, they're riding on a cult wave of WWE, whether they like to admit it or not. So, it's a good move on their part. And I know what they're trying to do, and the new management would like to expand into U.S. market. But I if I were New Japan, who would I call to? If that's their goal is to compete against them, who would you call to help you?
I wonder. He might have his own podcast with Conrad Thompson, I believe, and I believe he's one of your friends as well, right?
Yeah, that's who I would call. If I were New Japan, that's the first person I would reach out, wouldn't you? I mean, that would be the... Even if you just brought him in, just to get the fans, including me and everybody else, you guys, just to get their lip wet a little bit. You name Eric Bischoff into your fold, that could create a lot of interest in professional wrestling, right? Since New Japan's being number two, yeah. Mind you, they're destined number two, but if their objective to being able to spoken in same sentence with WWE, I think that's what I'd be doing.
I mean, he pushed WWE to its limit those 83 weeks. Nobody can say that he pushed WWE to the brink, and Eric, I know you can't speak for Eric, but you're friends with him. You come in contact a lot. Do you still think he has that itch to do something like that? Do you still has the itch, that fire to run a company like New Japan or consult or be part of the wrestling business again?
Oh, I can't speak for him, but I can tell you this, Eric and I just had a conversation just a couple of days ago. We're planning on going to Japan. Masa Saito, which is our dear friend who passed away earlier this year, Masa Saito had more to do with, the relationship that very successful relationship between New Japan and WCW. And, he played a big part in the success of WCW with New Japan talent. And because of all the, everybody from Dean Malenko to Eddie Guerrero, Chris Benoit, Ultimo Dragon, Chris Jericho, all those guys came in not as a big star. Now, they were star in their own right and their own realms, but they came in and really boosted that cruiserweight division, which WWE kind of left it out there for us to have. So we took these great talent, and I think one of the things that WCW is known for is elevating those guys into our next level. And you got to remember, most of those guys that I just forementioned worked for WCW, and he was, worked for New Japan Pro Wrestling, and he was on the New Japan Pro Wrestling contract. So allowing them to be signed by WCW and being able to work at New Japan under that same contract, that was all Masa Saito and Eric Bischoff that created that synergy. And that helped each of the company. One of the successful time in New Japan history is that period where we were most successful.
There's no question about that, Sonny, but something that you'd mentioned before, how Jeff brought up the fact that Madison Square Garden is going to be sold out by New Japan and Ring of Honor combining for the Super Card. But there's something to be said, too, in terms of like what you mentioned before, you know, all promotions are trying to, you know, in a sense, ride that tidal wave of momentum that WrestleMania brings to whatever town they are when they do arrive in that area. But there's something to be said, too, about Chicago, Illinois, and All In for the mere fact that that was just a single event, basically, which seemed to kind of harness the revolution that seems to be going on in professional wrestling right now. You know, there's a boom period going on, it felt like, in 2018. 2019 seems to carry that same type of momentum. So what were your thoughts initially when you heard about the event of All In, Cody and the Young Bucks combining their money to bring in all this independent talent, which, unless you were watching WWE programming, you didn't know existed, but still had that same type of atmosphere and feel as a WrestleMania weekend? Is that a good step in the direction in terms of how I mentioned my first question before? Can anybody actually be at that level? But it seems like it'd be a good sign now that with technology being the way it is, an event like All In can sell out under 30 minutes.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I work for Fight TV, FITE. You know, they have over 5 million subscribers on their app. And you know, having that kind of, you know, people, that kind of numbers, a universe that you can just a touch button and watch whatever you want from anywhere in the world, that helped a lot. Technology has changed. And I think there's a resurgence right now for independent wrestling. I believe, and I don't know this for sure, but I did work with Pentagon, who was one of the rising star of as a luchador out of Mexico City. And, you know, I kind of chatted him a couple weeks ago when I was in San Diego. There was a match versus Ultimo Dragon versus Pentagon. And I was involved in a match and got to spend some time with Pentagon. And one of the things that, you know, he says, hey, you know, I asked him if he was going to WWE. And he said, you know, I work 4 to 5 days a week. I get to pick and choose, you know, and I make more money doing what I'm doing and have, you know, I have nobody controlling me. And I make more money than I can make and working for a big company. So, you know, because of technology, because of independent scene in the United States and popularity is so big that, you know, guys like Pentagon wants to stay as an independent. And I should tell you something, you know. I think, I don't know if the Young Buck and those guys are being offered some deals. I would think there will be to go to WWE, but, you know, I don't know if that's such a great idea with what they got going on, you know?
Do you think it's something to do with more creative aspect of it? Because that, from a fan's perspective, I tend to see that, you know, financial stability is always something you always look for. But like you just mentioned Pentagon saying he's working 4 or 5 days a week. He's picking and choosing his schedule. And he has that freedom.
Probably gets to be creative, too, and is in charge of his character and where he wants to go as far as direction, right?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Exactly. Is that? Would you think, from a talent standpoint, from your standpoint, would that be something that, you know, you kind of bypass the money to have the same ability to make that same amount, but also have that creative control of yourself of developing and making your own mistakes and kind of figuring out your way in this industry?
Yeah, I mean, you know what? I just noticed the. I think it was a couple of weeks ago they brought in. I'm trying to think of the luchador's name. There was a couple of you know, pretty significant luchador that was signed by WWE. I'm trying to think of his name. But they brought in on a six-man tag match, I think maybe a week ago or so. And they kind of, you know, I think they went over a match, but, they, you know, they, once again, including me, you kind of lose him in that. You know, character development, how they promote you, all those things, you know, it plays into a part. And obviously, like you said, financial stability is one thing, but at the same time, you know, there's a lot of independent contractor out there that wants to stay independent contractor and having some say-so about, you know, your character development.
you know, Sonny, this is great too, talking about character development and how the difference is between the Attitude Era and, you know, the Monday Night Wars to now, where everything seems like more scripted. And, you know, you see somebody like Becky Lynch has been given the opportunity and she took the ball and she's rolled with it. She's become maybe the hottest thing right now in wrestling. But talk about back then when maybe there was more of ability for you guys to take chances and not have to have things more scripted, where there's maybe just bullet points and it's basically you going out there. Do you think that's something in wrestling that's been a negative, where now you've been given a script and you're kind of told what to do? You know, just talk about that difference that you see now in wrestling today.
Well, like I said, from what I see, I think scripted, actual interviews and stuff like that. You know, one of the greatest interviewer is obviously, you know, you take somebody like Ric Flair, who can, you know, who can capture your attention on the screen when that man talks, you know, and not to mention, you know, is he going to take his clothes off? but guys like Ric Flair was never given, and certainly and WCW, they'll give you this is point A, and this is point B, and this is where we want to go to point C. Now, nobody ever told Ric Flair, or, you know, good 90% of the talent, how to do their promos. You know what I mean? And for that matter, Ric Flair, what you see on television is Ric Flair that I knew, you know, off the camera as well. But he is, you know, you take somebody talent like that, who is so good on a stick, and I just don't see anybody like that, or they're not cultivating anybody like that, you know, since you don't have the freedom that you have or you had back in the days. I think it kind of comes through in their product.
Sonny, do you think the evolution we are now, where, for example, I think WCW was the first actually company that implemented, you know, the ability of boosting up your young talent and people that need work in terms of the power plant. Now you look at it from what the power plant's idea was to where the performance center is now, and how, you know, WWE are bringing talent from all over the world, not just in professional wrestling, but from other sports, to kind of show them the quote-unquote, from what I hear from time to time, the WWE style. Do you think right now, being a young person in this industry, or if you're a young up-and-comer and trying to make a name for yourself, do you still think it benefits you to go out and visit the world in terms of different styles, of the Japanese style to the luchador style to the European style? Does it benefit a young talent to do that, or do you think WWE has the right mindset in terms of how they want to integrate new talent coming up in this industry?
Yeah, you know, I really think, you know, I look at it in terms of since it's such a creative you know, environment the professional wrestling is. You know, when you put in the packages, I think it hurts the product. You know, yes, the product is always good, always the same. You know, but after a while, you know, it doesn't matter how good it is, you get tired of eating the same food. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I think having a variety into that, you know, or spontaneity of being able to see something is different and refreshing, and I think it's needed, and especially on television product. You know, if you keep doing the same format, same thing over and over again, and same packages, and you know, same meal being delivered, it doesn't matter how good it is. You know, you're still going to get, gee, I wonder what that, you know, next door Chinese restaurant looked like. You know, and I think, getting back to what you said, I think for young talent, being able to work for New Japan or Wrestle One or All Japan, being able to wrestle over there, having that knowledge is so important. Or for that matter, to go to Mexico and wrestle the lucha style of wrestling, because they are different. And if you go to a lucha show in Mexico City, you go, wow. You know, what are different than what you've been seeing on television? And you also have to remember, their matches, except maybe on pay-per-view, their matches are television segmented matches. You know, sometimes you'll have a 3 minutes of entrance and you're going to have a 2 minute match. You know, so they really don't get to show their stuff and or create a storyline within a match. Now you take New Japan and it's opposite of that. A lot of the story are being told within the ring while they're doing the match, which is setting up for next two or three matches, you know, that is going forward. So I think those are the things that, and if you're going to go to Japan, and you know, my recommendation to you is, you know, you better be in a shape to maybe go 30-minute match. You know, 30-minute single match, if you really think about it, how long that is in a ring, you better be in shape. And, you know, the condition going to play a part, and you don't want to be getting gassed after 5 minutes into the match, and you know, you can't continue, or you miss a spot, or you botch a move, and that could hurt or kill somebody. So those are the things I think it's important that it's a learning process that they need to have that kind of knowledge in their repertoire.
Talking to Sonny Ono, former WCW manager, who wore so many hats with the company. And, of course, he will be at WrestleCade November 23rd to the 25th at the Benton Convention Center, Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Tickets available at WrestleCade.com. Special photo ops with him and Ultimo Dragon. So that's going to be great to see. So if you're in Winston-Salem for WrestleCade, definitely go visit him. It's going to be a great three-day wrestling convention during Thanksgiving weekend. Sonny, you know, 13 years to the day that we lost Eddie Guerrero, and obviously you were so integral in the relationship between New Japan and WCW liaison, so to say, back in the time. Any memories of Eddie when this time of year comes by?
Well, you know, Eddie was such a great guy. You know, we would play Jim Rummy in the back waiting for our matches at Disney. And one of the things that I would play games and I was pretty decent at it, but you know, we both play games, and we would take our winnings and donate our money to, our respective causes. And so he was always generous. One of the funnest time I ever had with Eddie was and Chris Benoit and myself. We were in Tokyo, got caught in hurricane and everything shut down. And we were on, I believe we were at the Kiel Plaza. Maybe we were at Tokyo Dome Hotel. Maybe we were. There's American restaurant there. And we spent our time just, you know, we went outside during a storm and there was no cars outside. Everything is shut down. And here's three of us trying to find some, get some refreshment in an area and try to find something. And you know, having a lot of deep thought about the conversation about where we came from, how we got there, and where we are now. And talking about this time of the year, Eddie was worked the show for WWE in Des Moines, Iowa. So my son and I went down and visited him and went to backstage and hung out a little bit. And he says, why don't you come up to Minneapolis, I think it was a Raw. Mm-hmm. And he says, hey, we'll get you some tickets. And when I called, that's when I got the news that next morning when I was on the way up to Minneapolis is that they found Eddie at the Marriott Hotel. It's almost cliche to say, you know, the good die young, but he was one of the good guys. He was very generous, amazingly talented, and it's very sad this time of the year thinking about the guys that it's already gone.
It's very difficult to think about all the great talent that, you know, just left this earth too soon and had so much more to not only give us the audience, but to give to the industry and the business that made them. Sonny, you know, something I always find funny, and for myself particularly, as I think retrospectively of when I get a chance to speak to somebody like you, is that, you know, if you look back in the 90s, you look back in the early 2000s, the business was very protected. People didn't want to talk about what happened behind the curtain. Now it seems to be something of the norm. I mean, obviously some secrets are kept secret still, but, you know, people are more giving in terms of talking about discussing it. Do you think that's a great step in terms of the industry now, in terms of really treating it as it's a business and it's show business, but also appreciating the art form of it? Do you feel or as if, you know, more people kind of want to know too much about it, and the illusion, the fantasy sometimes gets lost in the shuffle?
Yeah, and I agree with you. When you and I go to a movie, we don't sit in the seat and critique the movie and says, "Oh, he didn't really blow up," yeah, or "He didn't really giant because I saw him on TV yesterday." That thought does not even, you know, it cross our mind when we're watching the product, right? And we don't go to a wrestling show and it says, "Oh, that's fake. He didn't really." Listen, I'm telling you, these athletes that perform these maneuvers, there's nothing fake about somebody who's doing a moonsault from a top turnbuckle and landing on you. I'm telling you from experience. I had a Jimmy DeSnuka who I'd taken his splash, which I wear as a feather in my cap, and there was nothing fake about, you know, guy who weighs 260 pounds splashing you, you know, and I, every time I take one of those little bumps from a wrestler, I get a little bit more respectful for what they do day in and day out. And to answer your question, it's suspended reality, right? I want to get lost in the match. You know, I want to see the craft. I mean, knowing a little bit more than average, probably fan, I might see things a little bit different, but, you know, I'm always amazed by the great matches that I get to see. You know, you got somebody who like a Vader. Remember he used to do the moonsault? I mean, the man was, you know, the 300-pound man doing stuff like that. What an athlete.
All right, Sonny, you mentioned Eric Bischoff before. And you guys go way, way, way back. And just talk about your friendship now and just how influential he's been in your career ever since you got into wrestling, because I know he gave you your opportunity in the wrestling business. Talk about just your friendship and just, you know, just quick thoughts about Eric Bischoff in general.
Well, you know, Eric always has been, you know, very, very competitive, amazingly competitive individual. And so, you know, given opportunity, I knew Eric was going to succeed one way or another. So, you know, that's without, you know, I think everybody who knows Eric Bischoff, you know, knows that given opportunity, he's going to be successful. You know, we go back in a sense that we were, you know, in our 20s competing, and martial art tournament all over the United States, you know, and Eric is a legit, you know, he liked the scrap. He was a scrapper. And I think that plays into the way he conducted himself, and it doesn't surprise me at all how successful he'd been. You know, we go back long ways to, you know, the dates, you know, when we were scraping $20 so we could go to a karate tournament so we can fight somebody without getting in trouble and going to jail. So that was a kind of objective. And so having, one of the reasons I got into it was because Eric and I was talking about kickboxing event, the television that we wanted to get it going. I fought for PKA, which was a professional karate association, in early 80s or mid 80s, mid 70s, I should say, mid 70 to early 80s. I fought at the bantamweight, and Eric fought on, matter of fact, I think Eric fought on CBS television, in one of those weekend sports, CBS sports. I think he fought as a middleweight, like 165 pounds.
Yeah, it was no joke. You were top ranked, and don't let the good looks fool you. Bischoff could handle his own, right? I mean, like you said, you have to be kind of a scrapper. You got to have a moxie to be in this business, especially the wrestling business. So, you know, from what everyone says back then it was so cutthroat. It's the territories. It's, you know, you had the Monday Night Wars. You know, you have to have that special something to go toe-to-toe with a Vince McMahon, you know. And then, you know, everyone's saying that, oh, if Vince would have showed up that pay-per-view, he would have kicked Eric Bischoff's ass. I don't know, because Eric, in his own right, was a very tough dude.
Yeah, Eric could scrap. I mean, and, you know, mind you, he was one of the, ranked fighters at 165 pound weight class. And I think, you know, and all of us, you know, loses a fight when we run out of gas, but I don't know what kind of condition Eric was in, but I know he was legitimately training for it. You know, in case Vince did show up. So, 1975 to 1981, you know, I was number one in the world at PKA.
Yeah.
You know, Eric used to train in the same gym as I did. So, you know, I mean, he's no slouch. Actually, you know, that would have been a pay-per-view. I would have actually paid.
Yeah, definitely would have
to see that fight.
Yeah. And now Eric Bischoff, of course, now the success now is delving into all the stories behind the scenes, and 83 Weeks is one of my favorite podcasts alongside Conrad Thompson. Really does a great job. Isn't it surprising how the wrestling fans are one of the best wrestling fans? They're so loyal. They love the behind the scenes. They're very nostalgic. This whole boom of podcasting and wrestling podcasts, you ever thought about yourself, maybe the Sonny Ono podcast or anything like that? Have you ever thought about doing something like that? Maybe taking advantage of this boom as far as like our thirst for wrestling?
Yeah, no, one of the things that most amazes me is like WrestleCade, we're all going to be there. I'll probably see you there, right?
Hopefully. But WrestleCade is next weekend.
Right. The fan is – what's amazing thing about the fan that remembers us, and, of course, this is all being, helped by, WWE 24/7 network that shows all the Nitro shows. And, golly, I was on – you know, a lot of those Nitro shows and Thunders. That helps. And I'm always amazed that the fans are willing to, pay a few bucks and get my autograph and get a selfie with the guy who, by the way, the guy who started doing a selfie on national television.
And how about that, right? Don't you wish you would have thought of the selfie stick there, Sonny? And then you would have been, yeah, how amazing would that have been?
but you got to remember, I'm the one who was, I'm sure the other people has done selfies, before that. I'm sure when a camera was invented, the guy figured out, how can I take a picture of myself?
Yeah.
So I'm sure that was being done. But you got to remember, I'm the guy who was doing it week in and week out before they were called selfie on my trusted Fuji camera, solidify the moment of my entrance at WCW.
And I also want to share a story, too, because you know how fans will go up to you and share a story. I actually was fortunate enough to meet you at an event here in Jersey. I think it was Janela versus Ultimo Dragon. And you guys had to, you guys were again making it the next town. And you guys were very courteous enough to say hello to me and my co-host, and I always remember that because Ultimo Dragon to me one of the very best to ever do it, and then just to see two guys that we saw growing up watching WCW, it was a good time, and I just wanted to thank you for that too. Wanted to appreciate you taking the time out to say hello.
Well, yeah, I think this is another thing that people forget. I think a tendency when you're on top of the games, being on television, because maybe I'm older than a lot of the guys I was with, I'm about 10 years older than a lot of these guys I worked with. I always used to tell them, I said, hey, you're going to meet the same people on the way down. That's number one. and number two, reason why you are who you are is because these fans. So, I always sign autographs and I always, and give a few moments. And I always say that to all my guys. I said, listen, you gotta give these fans what they want because they're the one who supports you, I think that's something that every talent who appreciates the, gotta learn to appreciate the fans. Yeah. They're the one who come and see you, whether because they hate you or because they love you.
Yeah. And Sonny Ono giving us an awesome interview here. And my final question to you is, you know, we talked about memories of Eddie, but there's also somebody, too, that continues to amaze me every single time. He's always reinvents himself. He's always doing something different. And I was able to go on the Chris Jericho cruise. And somebody who I have a lot of respect for is Chris Jericho. You obviously know Chris Jericho and you know, have had come in contact with him. Observations of how he's been able to, you know, just turn 48, to continue to reinvent himself and continue to, you know, do things that are unpredictable. Because, you know, with social media, it's tough. You know where he's going to be. You know he's going to show up here. Oh, this and that. But the ability to continue to reinvent and surprise the fans. How are you surprised that Chris has lasted this long? Are you amazed how far he's come as far as being able to do his band, the Jericho Crew? Just your thoughts on Chris Jericho.
Well, Chris was amazingly talented. I can tell you this honestly, that when speaking of Cruz, one of the last time he was with WCW was at a Bruce Cruz that WCW had way back when. And we were on the same cruise, you know, we were on that cruise together. And I remember asking him not to go to WWE, that because he was amazingly talented, you know, individual. But one of the things that really, you know, makes him stand up, you know, after all these years, that he can, you know, he took care of his body. That's one, and that he can still perform. And two, he's really smart. You know, he's smart about the business. You know, and he takes every advantage, and this new social media that we have, and everything from Twitter to Facebook, you know, he knows how to promote. And, you know, because of who he is, we're interested in what he's doing, you know? So, you know, he's just a great guy, and he worked in New Japan a few times. And you know, here's the guy who can work everywhere and be successful. So, you know, there isn't too many great stories. There's, you know, but Chris Jericho's story is certainly one of the good ones.
Sonny, I want to thank you so much for coming on. Of course, you will be next week at WrestleCade in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, at the Benton Convention Center. Tickets, go to WrestleCade.com. Special photo up with him and Ultimo Dragon. It is one of the best three-day wrestling conventions out there in the world. So definitely looking forward to that. Thank you so much for coming on. Hope to have you on, you know, in the future here. And thank you for your time, Sonny.
Yeah, don't be a stranger. Feel free to call me anytime. And if you want to know something that really happened way back when, I can tell you an amazing story about a lot of guys that happened while I was with him in Tokyo. So we'll cover that next time.
Oh, right? Yeah, we definitely need to. Yeah, definitely, because you know, we saw, you know, you've done interviews recently, so we kind of wanted to get your thoughts on the current business, because you have, obviously, you know, a very good mind for it. You've dealt with some of the guys here, especially like the Chris Jerichos and Eric Bischoff. So it's really good to pick your brain on the current topics here, and I think, listen, Sonny, you know, McMahon is very into bringing managers back now. You got Leo Rush is talking for Lashley. So you never know, Sonny. I mean, if anybody needs mouthpieces, definitely it's Asuka and Shinsuke. And it would be so simple to put you two together, and that would be awesome, I think.
Hey, that would be fun. I mean, it would be fun, even if I can help them, you know, elevate themselves a little bit more, get them more in the mainstream. You know, they're already stars, but I think it would be a good fine twist that can, you know, elevate them a little bit and you know, at least be able to help them tell the story. But tell your fans, as you already did, I guess, to be sure to come by my table at the WrestleCade and get, you know, say hello and get a selfie with me.
And where can we find you on the social media, Sonny?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I'm on a Facebook. I'm the Sonny Ono, mm-hmm. So you can find me there. And yeah, just hit me up and say hello.
All right, Sonny, thank you so much. We'll talk in the future. Again, have a great time. And if we don't talk, have a good holiday season to you and your family.
All right. All right. Well, thanks for having me, and I sure appreciate it. And, you know, tell your fans, wrestling is amazingly fun because it's kind of like reality story that happens right in front of your eyes, right? There's always something going on in front of the screen, and there's always all kind of goofy thing happening on behind the screen. So, listen, I appreciate you calling me and having me on your podcast, and talk to your fans soon.
Talk soon, Sonny. Thank you. All right, Trendsetter, that was Sonny Ono. And once again, I want to thank him for giving us a lot of his time, actually. So, Sonny Ono, I learned so much from him. He's got a great mind. And, you know, they're bringing back managers, Trendsetter. So, definitely, I could see, you know, Sonny Ono maybe one day managing an Oscar or Shinsuke. We talk about how they need mouthpieces, somebody to talk for them. And he would be definitely a great fit for either Oscar or Shinsuke.
Well, he has so much knowledge, and like I said, he can bridge the gap there where, you know, someone who did not invest into the story, he can do a great job as much as Paul Heyman does a great job with Brock Lesnar, the advocate, the manager. I don't think that role's ever left, Jeff. I just think the significance of it hasn't been utilized as a Sonny Ono could be utilized, or like what a Paul Heyman does in his job with Brock Lesnar, how he builds up a match. So I think it's something that's never gone, but at the same time, it's also been a little bit underappreciated, and with all the knowledge and all the wisdom, all the experience, you can't buy experience nowadays, Jeff. That's a whole, it's such a huge, valuable commodity, and he definitely has, and I would love to see him back in the WWE managing the Oscar or Shinsuke Nakamura.
Definitely much needed so that we can relate with these characters. I think that's all we're missing, is just the relatability with Shinsuke or Oscar.
Well, not necessarily us relating to them, Jeff. I think it's more of the general audience needs to relate to them. So when you have that mouthpiece, I think it's easier for them. And we know who Shinsuke is. We know who Oscar is. We know how legit they are badasses. But unfortunately, I don't think the general public know, and that's why it's kind of pitted in the position they are right now.
All right, Trendsetter, before we talk about NXT TakeOver War Games, let's talk about Collar and Elbow. We actually sponsored our interview with Sonny Ono. And just in time for the holidays, Collar and Elbow is an apparel brand founded by Al Snow, mixing wrestling passion with street fashion. Check out the entire wear fashion line, including brand new long sleeve shirts and hoodies. You got to go to collarxelbowbrand.com and save 10% on your entire online purchase just by entering promo code HIGHSPOTPODCAST, all in caps. Just in time for the holidays, Trendsetter. So get that shopping going. You don't want to be last online on Christmas Eve getting gifts, Trendsetter. But got to go to Collar and Elbow. All right, Trendsetter, talking about NXT War Games. Now, this is usually the show, NXT TakeOver, that usually kind of overshadows the big pay-per-view, whether it's the Royal Rumble, whether it's Mania sometimes. Now it's Survivor Series here. Talk about this. You know, four matches that we're going to get, but War Games, it's always interesting. It's always a dynamic matchup. Last year was very successful in Houston, but War Games returned. It's going to be amazing. TakeOver usually overshadows the WWE shows on Sunday. Just your quick take. Will this one do the same?
Oh, we're here on the mothership, Jeff, is my best Dusty Rhodes impression, because this is basically his baby. War Games is basically something
War
he Game wanted to do.
Beyond baby.
And we're going to see it again. It's second time here on NXT, so it's going to be interesting to see. It's amazing. It's four matches, but four matches that, you know, and when you compare the two, it's always a distinct difference, Jeff. You know, because NXT does such a great job of building you, investing you into those storylines within an hour program, unlike a three-hour Raw or two-hour SmackDown live. So it's interesting that the four matches are here, but four matches that, oh my goodness, you look at it, there's history, it's personal, and more importantly, it's for, you know, It bodes the fact that you have championship matches and then you have matches for pride and for bragging rights. And, you know, that's what you want in type of Survivor Series type atmosphere. So I'm looking forward to this, Jeff. I am so looking forward to the NXT championship match, because to me, I've mentioned time and time again, and you've mentioned it as well too, I'm not the only one, about how much the stock of the Velveteen Dream is rising. It's getting up there right now. He has a chance to become NXT champion against one of the best heels in the game right now, I think, Tommaso Ciampa.
Yeah, the Black Art has really done an amazing job as a champion. This is a matchup, I think, between two heels. I don't think the Velveteen Dream is a guy that is out for the accolades of the fans. He loves himself, and this is going to be a good matchup here between both of them. I'm kind of thinking that Tommaso Ciampa has just been on such a role in that. They're going to progress with this Johnny Gargano storyline and the tease of them maybe coming back together and aligning themselves as a heel tag team, which would be awesome. So I just don't know if the Velveteen Dream is going to be one of those wrestlers that is going to make it to become the NXT champion before he goes up to the main roster. I think he's roster ready, but is he going to be the guy that's going to be NXT championship before he gets called up? I just don't think so. And there's nothing wrong with that, but I just don't think in this whole angle and the way the WWE, NXT, the direction they're going to, I don't think they're going to put the title on Velveteen Dream, at least not here at War Games in LA.
I get your point, but I think the main focus, Jeff, you have to realize here, it's not about, as much as it is for the NXT Championship, this is a huge opportunity for the Velveteen Dream to prove himself. You say he's roster ready, right? I think after this match, after NXT TakeOver War Games, he will prove without a shadow of a doubt to the main roster, to a Vince, to a Triple H, that he's ready for the main roster, whether he wins this or not. It's so interesting to see the fact that this guy who got cut from Tough Enough, and now he's in this position. What a mistake that was. And now he's put in this position. Just showcases his talent and also showcases the talent of NXT, that I could see him as the face of NXT. Granted, Tommaso Ciampa is doing such a great job right now, but I can't see him as the face of NXT right now because he would be a great showcase for the brand right now that's kind of extending and still building.
I wasn't looking to argue with you here, but you're going to tell me that right now over Tommaso Ciampa, he deserves to have the championship. I just think the way everything is going, I think it would divert the course of where they're trying to go. I really truly believe that the end game is to have Ciampa and Gargano become a tag team again, and I think to be a powerful force, Ciampa's got to have that belt. So I just don't see how the Velveteen Dream, yes, it's a great matchup, but I think this is more of Velveteen Dream's graduation as he goes to the roster. When will that be? I don't know, but I just don't see him becoming an NXT champion before he gets called up. I just don't see that.
Okay, well, you didn't want an argument? Well, Jeff, guess what? You just got yourself into one. You know why? Because you were completely wrong on this.
Ding, ding, ding.
You were completely wrong on this. For the mere fact of the matches he's had with Ricochet, let's not go back, you know, back to NXT TakeOver in Brooklyn. Amazing. He somehow encompasses the crowd. He knows his history, and he goes 120% into what he's doing. How he could not be faced? I can't believe you even spat out those words, Jeff. That should be an insult onto you. Shame. For shame on you, Jeff.
You're shaming me, Trent. You're
exactly,
shaming
for
me.
For shame on you, because here's the thing. What's the long-term goal for Tommaso Ciampa? Is he going to be in NXT forever? If you said he's going to be pinned in a tag team back with Johnny Gargano, does it make sense for him to be a champion and then a tag team? No. You want the title an individual, somebody who's going to be chased, somebody who's going to be either the babyface or the chaser. And right now, Tommaso Ciampa, if you were to drop it right now, does that hurt him? No, because he's already proven his stock is worth a main roster spot.
Yeah, so it's good. Well, go. I totally believe Aleister Black is also involved somehow in this title picture, and also Johnny Gargano. I just think that this is a matchup that's going to, yes, it is a show stealer, but will we see a brand new champion? I don't think so. So I'm going to go with Tommaso Ciampa defending his championship. You obviously, I believe, you think there's a good chance that Velveteen Dream walks away with this title.
No, nothing gets by you, Jeff, of course.
All right, awkward pause. And now we've got, of course, the War Games. You're going to have Ricochet, Pete Dunne, and the War Raiders against the Undisputed Era. Ba-da-bow-bow-bow-bow.
Let's just call them War Machine. That's what they really are. You know, the War Raiders. Okay, I get it. Exciting here, man. There's just something, Jeff, about me real quick. It's just when you see a team.
Oh, there's something about you, Trendsetter.
Exactly.
I can't tell you on air.
All right, no problem there. But when you look at Undisputed Era, they're such a well-oiled machine. When you pit a whole bunch of individuals together, it just doesn't make that much sense from a fan's perspective. I'm picking Undisputed Era on this because they just work so well together. Unlike these individuals, you're just pitting them together because they're talented individuals.
Well, War Raiders have the tag team.
War Machine.
Tag team. War Machine, okay. War Machine. They have that that tag team moxie there, they've worked together, but you're right, Pete Dunne and Ricochet, they really haven't worked together. So obviously, you know, the advantage goes to the Undisputed Era. They've been in this match before. They've been there last year. They know what it takes. I totally agree with that. I totally agree with the fact that, you know what, they have the experience, and I'm going to agree with you, Trendsetter, that the Undisputed Era, by the time all this whole War Games history now, the reincarnation of this War Games, I think it's going to belong to the Undisputed Era. I think they're going to own it. I think when the history books, when you look at War Games, Undisputed Era is going to be in the history books as being one of the most dominant factions to win or ever show up in these War Games matches. So I go Undisputed Era is going to win this.
And so let's move on to the NXT Women's Championship match. Something that's really interesting. I'm going back and forth on this, Jeff. It's a 2 out of 3 falls match. Kind of, I guess, the only way you can kind of wrap this up because both women have had fall victories against each other. Shayna Baszler, the champion, against Kairi Sane, the former champion. I'm kind of torn between this, Jeff, just because the mere fact that Shayna Baszler seems, although I don't think in terms I don't find anything really that entertaining about her, I'm being honest here, I think she shows herself as a legitimate badass, which is what you want, and she showcases that really well. But if I'm going to be honest here, I would probably say Shayna Baszler compared to Kairi Sane is more roster ready. So it would make more sense for me for Kairi Sane to retain it. But right now, I think they're still trying to build that women's division. So I see Shayna Baszler kind of holding on to this one.
Yeah, you definitely see that. I could see it go three. I could really see, you know, Kairi maybe winning the first one. But I could also see her win. I could see Kairi winning the first one, and then Shayna having to come back and win two in a row. It would really solidify her, and then as she moves on to a next opponent. But listen, Kairi Sane obviously can go. She beat Shayna Baszler at the Mae Young Classic, the first one, and then she beat her NXT Brooklyn, so she can hang with Shayna Baszler. But I'm going to go with Shayna Baszler. She's a badass. She's got the look. She's the face to me of the NXT Women's Division. I don't think anybody comes close to challenging her. I think that is her division and her division alone. I haven't seen a dominant female in that division in a long time since Asuka. So I'm going to go with Shayna Baszler retaining the NXT Women's Championship.
Real quick, depending on who wins this match, does the loser end up moving up the roster?
No, I don't think so.
What more can you do? Can this rivalry continue, you feel?
Yeah, I could see this rivalry continue, or maybe they push it for a while and they have another competitor take on Shayna Baszler.
Anybody come to mind for you?
Maybe a Bianca Belair, a Mia Yim, maybe. A Candice LeRae. You know, there are other people in there, but let's be honest, though, Trendsetter, there is, to me, one dominant female in that division, and that is Shayna Baszler. Well, yeah, Mia Yim, but also Shayna Baszler, who I think will retain the NXT Women's Championship.
As you can tell, I'm playing favorites. As you can tell, I'm playing favorites here.
Yeah, you always play favorite, Trendsetter. And then the NXT match that I think really has the most talk about is Tommaso Ciampa. It's going to be Johnny Gargano and Aleister Black. Aleister Black, of course, we find out who it was that actually snuck attack him, and it was Johnny Gargano. Yes, Johnny Gargano went to the dark side, Trendsetter. And to me, I really, truly believe if there is anything right with this world, that Johnny Gargano has to be the winner out of this one. He has to prevail from this matchup to be taken seriously. He's lost way too much. He's lost to Gargano time and time again. And if he's really going to go to that dark side, he's going to go to a dark place, darker than Aleister Black. And I think that Johnny Gargano comes out victorious in this matchup, not only because it should happen, because he definitely needs this victory.
Yeah, short and sweet. I agree. I think Johnny Gargano needs this victory. And Aleister Black, it doesn't hurt him, but the mere fact, I don't think this will be the last we see of this. It's a grudge match, yes, but I think it's just the one of many they were going to see between Aleister Black and Johnny Gargano. So I got Johnny Gargano winning this one.
Now, four matches, because, of course, War Games is going to get its due time, and, of course, the two out of the three pinfall matchup is going to go be given its time, too. So four matches for NXT TakeOver War Games in Los Angeles at the Staples Center. Will it overshadow, will it outshine Survivor Series?
It has the potential to. Will it? If I'm giving a percentage, I would say it has an 80% chance to overshadow it, just because when you've looked at NXT TakeOver stuff before these events, especially last year of last Survivor Series, it stole the show. It stole the week. This has, even though it's four matches, has the ability to, you know, what Triple H says, oh my God, you bastards, you know, you're going to make it impossible for us to top that. I think this has the potential of really topping it, because look at the talent of caliber of people you have here. Tommaso Ciampa, you have Velveteen Dream, you have War Raiders, a.k.a. War Machine, Pete Dunne, Ricochet, Undisputed Era, Kairi Sane, Shayna
Adam
Baszler,
Cole, baby!
Exactly, Aleister Black, Johnny Gargano. These are just all talented individuals that can steal the show, and I think that's going to be the theme of this. Who's going to steal the show? First match up, they're going to go after that match and say, top that, and you know what? That's going to be the theme of that night. So if I'm the main roster, I got to be honest with you, I'm a little worried, because they do have the ability of stealing the weekend.
Yeah, I think that on a wrestling standpoint, they will, but I think the headlines were definitely going to be made out of Survivor Series. Folks, you can't lose. If you're there for the weekend in LA, you're going to enjoy great wrestling. You're going to be entertained, fully entertained and wrestling-wise on Saturday. And then, of course, Sunday is the big Survivor Series event. Brand Supremacy. It's Raw versus SmackDown Live. And, of course, next week, Thanksgiving week. Boy, can you believe it's going to be Thanksgiving week already, Trendsetter? We're going to be stuffed with turkey, and we're going to recap Survivor Series for you all in a nutshell, give me an update on Becky Lynch's injury status. And before we go, one last thing. we talked about Becky Lynch. I talked about how awesome she's been, how that, you know, blood-stained face is going to be iconic 10, 15 years down the road. Are you surprised that when she chose Charlotte, she gave Charlotte a hug, kind of saying, go get her? Do you think it's something that we're going to forget, or do you think it's something to maybe put that that Becky is a face and that, okay, they put bygones, you know, aside, and, you know, this is for unity, for the brand? What do you think that was? Was that just something that I'm maybe overblowing? What do you think that hug meant?
I think that hug meant that the curtains of fantasy were pulled away and you just saw reality. Regardless of what storyline writes, Jeff, these two individuals are best friends. They love each other. And it was emotional because, as you could see, and Jeff would tell me, it's so weird to see Charlotte be clapping for Becky Lynch as she walks into the ring as the fans are chanting, Becky, Becky. But regardless, I mean, it could be storyline-wise where, you know what, I respect you still, and even though we don't see eye to eye theoretically as friends anymore, but it kind of puts away in terms of what the storyline of Becky and Charlotte went through. But ultimately, I think what you saw was a real moment. Becky and all the hard work she's done for that moment that she wanted with Ronda Rousey was unfortunately not to be, and you saw just real emotion. So it was more like, you know, screw storylines, screw plots. This is more of just me telling you, carry the job and finish the job that I started, because she wouldn't want anybody else to do it but Charlotte. So I saw reality, but I think we'll forget about it. I'm sure they'll ignore it and they'll move on back to the storyline. I don't think it's a smart choice, in my opinion, to move Becky Lynch as a face. I think she's great as a heel.
A shade of gray, at least, because she's still getting adored. The fans still cheered for her after she gave the hug to Charlotte. And when she's standing up there holding up her belt, the championship, as she's holding that championship up
title,
there,
whichever one you want to call it.
The crowd still loves Becky Lynch, and I hope that this injury, it doesn't take too long. I hope her concussion.
Sounds like you have a concussion too, Jeff.
sounds like I'm a little weary. I hope her concussion symptoms go away and that she's cleared soon enough, because she's on a huge roll, man. She is what the WWE is talking about. She is the talk of WWE right now.
Well, you compare it to Stone Cold Steve Austin. What did Stone Cold do best in his career? He towed the lines of black and white, shades of gray. He was a bad guy that was never supposed to be cheered, but he cheered him anyway. So in my opinion, I was going to say my professional opinion, like, 'cause I'm an expert or something, I don't think you want to move it fully blown babyface, because at the same time, it just takes away from the edginess, the coolness, that it factor that you talk about that has Becky Lynch being the talk of the town right now.
And again, next week, after we stuff our faces with turkey gobble gobble, we'll be back with your Survivor Series recap. And of course, so much stuff probably going to be breaking that it's going to be unable to be contained in just one show. But again, we want to thank Sonny Ono for joining us on the High Spot Podcast. Thank you to Cassidy Haynes of BodySlams.net for setting that up. Really appreciate it. And again, you can listen to us on all our social media at High Spot Podcast. Go to HighSpotPodcast.com. Check out our YouTube channel. Check out Adventures with the Trendsetter. Some great stuff with Trendsetter and Exotica. Definitely follow that. I want to give you a shout out to that, because you're doing an amazing job, Trendsetter. And of course, you can listen to us on the Cheap Pops Podcast Network, Shining Wizards, and Beat Plus Player Radio. Brian Fritz, as we move on to Spreaker as well. Spreaker, actually. That's what it is.
Spreaker.
As we move to Spreaker. And that's another platform you can listen to our show now. That is where the Cheap Pops Podcast home will be for the foreseeable future.
And so you can also follow Cheap Pops Podcast Network on Twitter as well.
Definitely. Yeah, exactly. At Cheap Pops. So definitely so much going on. Want to wish everyone, again, a happy Thanksgiving. It's all about family. And here at the High Spot Podcast, we want to just thank everyone for your support. And again, it's going to be an amazing Survivor Series and NXT TakeOver War Games Trendsetter.
Well, Jeff, it'll be nice to see you full of turkey rather than full of something else that you normally are every time I have the show with you. Every Friday, you guys can catch. We hope you have a wonderful weekend. We'll catch you again next week at the same time for more High Spot Podcast. He is Jeff Mart. I am Brian Brega. We are the Jersey Wreck Crew, saying that we do this for one reason, and one reason only, because we're thankful for all of you, the crew.
Gobble, gobble.